Very thankful for those who have helped to lead us this morning in this service. Professor Ryan Lister led us in our Old Testament reading. Pastor Aaron Harvey of Highview Baptist Church, the father of graduate Luke Harvey, led us in the prayer for the church. The New Testament reading from Professor Denny Burke, and the prayer for the nations from Professor Alicia Beiler. These are not just parts of a service. They're intended to remind us of the gravity of this hour and the glory of what we are observing here, and to be reminded of the context. We're part of a faith once delivered. We're a part of a long line of faithfulness. What we celebrate today is that continuity, and the fact that it is not only a continuity with the past, it is a promise for the future, and that's exactly what we see here. I think if you were to have dropped an alien here this morning, whatever kind of alien you prefer, from whatever universe you imagine, let's just imagine that they come and they observe just a picture of who you are and who is gathered here. You would know enough, even if you don't know anything, to understand something important is taking place here. For one thing, I assure you, these graduates do not dress this way every day. They do not normally sit in such straight lines. You can look at the regalia, you can look at the robes, you can look at the assembly and know that something big is taking place here. Furthermore, you can look at the context on this lawn. This didn't just happen. All of this is testimony to the absolute commitment of Christ Church to prepare a generation yet to come for faithful service in the church and in the world. All of this is testimony to the seriousness and the sacrificial nature of that commitment. We're here on a lawn that was prepared in one sense of God's providence for this very day and for this very moment. And we are going to be happy to be here together. This is also one of those moments in which we all recognize not only is something big taking place here, but something big in the lives of those we care about and love. It's one thing to see some other school and some other class of graduates gathered for such an occasion. We can understand even at a distance the joy and the commemoration. It's something quite different when someone we dearly love is one of the graduates. And when, in the context of that love, we have seen graduates come in and then for years of study commit themselves to the college experience and then be ready at this point for deployment all over the world. Something very big happens in the college experience, in the undergraduate experience. There are transitions in life, but let's be honest, there are a few transitions in life so significant, so strategic, as the transition from high school to being a college graduate. It's worthy of our consideration today. It's also important we recognize that this particular school has a history and a mission. This school is not just a college. It is Boyce College. It is a college born in and conceived in a commitment to raise up a generation with an unquestioned education that is absolutely established in the unquestioned truthfulness of God's Word, in the truth of the Christian gospel, the comprehensive truth of the Christian faith. It is an institution established for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to serve the church by preparing these graduates and sending them out. And it is only made possible because of the sacrificial commitment of so many Christians, so many churches, especially the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention. We're naturally drawn as Christians where the secular world is no longer drawn. If you were to be at a secular school for such an occasion, you would see some components of what we are observing this morning. You would see some kind of opening statement. You would see some kind of attempt at formality. But we as Christians understand we're walking into a structure that is well recognized to us because it is revealed in the Scripture itself. The early Christians found their way to the reading of Scripture, to the singing of hymns, and to the praying of prayers. This is what God's people do. God's people turn to God's word. And so this morning I want to turn to the very first psalm, Psalm 1. I will read it, and as you hear it, ponder that this is the opening to the Psalter. All that follows, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, looks to these first two psalms as prelude. I read together for you the first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I have to admit, I've never had sound effects when I read, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. We can hear it. Charles Spurgeon referred to the first two psalms as God preaching to us. He called the two psalms together a divine sermon. It is a declaration coming from God himself that opens the Psalter, the collection of the psalms. You'll notice that we have to decide how we're going to read this, as we have to determine as Christians how we're going to read all the psalms. And I am absolutely convinced that the right way to read the Psalms is Christologically. All is fulfilled in Christ. Every one of the Psalms points to Christ. When we see the distinction in the first Psalm between the righteous and the wicked, who can be righteous? Christ alone is the righteous one. He is the fulfillment of what is declared and presented in this psalm. But those who are God's people are called to follow that way. And we as Christians are called to follow Christ and obey Christ and emulate Christ. The distinction in this passage is so clear. You have the wicked and the righteous. It begins by blessing. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. It's very interesting. The more I look at the opening of Psalm 1, I am struck by the fact that the man who is blessed is described first and foremost by what he does not do. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Three different declarations there, and all three are dimensions of what it means to be wicked. Sinner. Scoffer. The wicked one. That's contrasted with the fact that the man who is blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The promise is that he is like a tree planted by streams of water. Such a beautiful picture here. That yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. But the warning is that the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. The wicked will not stand in the judgment. Sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We're back in a parallel structure to the righteous, the blessed one. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Sinners, scoffers. This is ancient language. This is Israel's Psalter and then the Psalter of the church. Let's just consider the fact that God's people have always had to understand our role as contrasted with those who follow the path of the wicked. who follow the way of sinners, who follow the scoffers. The scoffers are always present. Until Jesus comes, there will always be sinners, there will always be the wicked, there will always be scoffers. They make their arguments about the futility of faith in God. They make their disregarding, disrespectful statements about God. They dare even to declare themselves in our age atheists, agnostics, and the new category is nones, as in none of the above. The two ways here are contrasted so clearly. One leads to life and one leads to death. The wicked will perish. The promise of those who follow Christ in the way of the righteous. All of God's grace is the promise of salvation. The righteous are marked by the fact that this righteous man meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. It is the picture here from the Hebrew is almost as if he is mumbling it to himself, just repeating it to himself all during the day. He meditates upon the law of the Lord. This harkens back to Joshua 1, reminds us of Deuteronomy 17. It is this absolute indication of the word-centeredness, the scripture-centeredness of the one who follows the way of the blessed. I think you can understand why Psalm 1 comes to mind on an occasion like this. Look at these graduates. The very fact that they are here, the very fact that they have come to this college, the very fact that they are graduating from Boyce College, we hope and pray, indicates that they are following the way of the Blessed One, not the way of the wicked. Everything about this school, everything about its curriculum, everything about its faculty, everything about its culture is intended to present to Christians and to surround Christians, even immersing Christians, in the comprehensive truthfulness of God's word, in the glorious truth of the Christian faith. It's all about, however, training up for the cause of the church and for the glory of Christ, a generation that will go out into the world and into the church to make a determinative difference. If we were here just to celebrate 4 years well done, that would be worth some kind of commemoration. 4 years well done, a hard course of study, a very serious academic program now completed. Very significant work has gone into the graduation of every single one of these graduates in the class of Boyce College of 2026. They're here by grace, but there's a sense in which they graduate by works. They understand what I mean. It's all of grace, but there's hard work poured into these degrees. I want to speak on behalf of the graduates for just a moment. They've received instruction from the most remarkable faculty, committed to Christ, committed to the Christian church, committed to the Christian faith. And these faculty members have poured themselves into these students in a way that is not only academic and intellectual and cognitive, it is very personal and it has been pastoral. That's one of the things that sets Boyce College apart. I speak primarily, however, to the graduates rather than on their behalf. And to the graduates, my task is to bring a charge. And my charge is on the basis of Psalm 1 in the very beginning of the Psalter. Choose ye which way you will go. Because this is one of those moments in which there's a before and after, and it's a real before and after. When you dressed up to graduate from the first grade, whatever that means, it wasn't the same kind of moment. Even when you graduated from high school, and we all remember that occasion, you don't think anything can be bigger than this? Yeah, a lot's bigger than that. This is bigger than that. All these things are important in the milestones of a young person moving into maturity. But something really big is taking place here, because that means that at this point, people are going to ask you, what are you going to do now? You don't ask a first grader that. But that's the question that hangs over, is everyone graduating from a college. This is what it's like. And the fact is that God's glory is going to be in the paths of obedience taken by these graduates, and we're going to be thrilled to see what the Lord is going to do with them. But the before and after does bring us to this morning, where we, sitting here as you are today, you just see the seriousness with which you've conducted this study. And now the serious joy with which you are ready to go out. This is a joyous occasion. You are to feel the joy. There's a difference in the beginning and in the end of a course like this. You were joyous when you came in. There's a deeper joy now as you are sent out. You'll look back on these years in a way that you will look back on no other similar period of life. Simply because I think in later years you will come to understand the extent to which you became you to the glory of God during the years you were at Boyce College. My charge to you is that you join a long line of faithfulness that marks the Christian church. We understand that we have to put it that way because even in the New Testament it is put that way, and that is because in the Old Testament Israel was addressed with the very same assignment, to be God's people, to obey the law, to delight in God's law, to be a holy people separated from all other nations. Israel is a holy nation. And then to the New Testament, this is Christ's blood-bought church, described as a holy nation. We understand the gravity of what that means. We are here not just observing an academic occasion. We understand this to be a continuation of Christian faithfulness, just as in the past Christians have handed off responsibility, work, gospel, missions, preaching, culture building, civilization shaping from generation to generation. We understand this is one of those moments when we get to see that happen. We get to observe the weight of what it means for the past, the present, and the future to come into absolute juxtaposition in one moment. The past is testified all around us. The future is present right among us. The future, it's going to be fun to see. It's going to be great satisfaction. I can tell you from this side of the podium, there is spectacular satisfaction in this faculty and in those who lead this institution in seeing what the graduates of Boyce College are doing. We will rejoice. We'll be thrilled to see how the Lord is going to deploy you, and already is, in fields of service. For some of you, that will mean continued study as you follow God's call. For some of you, it will mean immediate employment in various occupations and vocations to the glory of God. We know right now, I know personally, of Boyce College graduates who are making a huge difference and an impact for Christ and the gospel in the secular workplace, among the professions. It's a glorious thing to see. For some of you, there are other transitions. One couple came through yesterday, and they were married Monday. That's exciting. That's very exciting. That's the glory of God. Now, come back and show us the babies. You see some of them right here, even in the processional, we saw some beautiful babies back there. All I can tell you is that we are living in an increasingly secular age, and we are living, as we understand as Christians, we're up against an enormous system of powers, principalities, and all the rest, but I can tell you we may not be able to outpolitic them, we may not be able to outvote them, we may be able not be able to outmaneuver them, but we can outbreed them to the glory of God. I say that with a particular unction as a grandfather. In all seriousness, it is a transition that gives us such joy. The Lord has given us such a beautiful day. But it would not be fitting for us to just observe this day and to celebrate these graduates without understanding the theological gravity of what's at stake here. Let me put it another way. In a very real sense, the faithfulness of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in coming generations depends upon you. The faithfulness of local churches will depend upon you as the graduates of Boyce College. You're not alone. But let's face it, We're in a world that is increasingly governed by other authorities and following a very different path. There's a heaviness to this, and it's natural. It's right. It's honest. I know there are parents here and family members here. You're not even sure how to feel. This is a fantastic moment. But you do know how to feel great satisfaction and great thankfulness, and how to feel great hope. One of the things I often ponder when I come to this moment is the fact that this crowd is here at this particular moment on this day in history. And as Christians, we understand the reality of space, time, and history. We understand that it's linear. It moves from the past in an unbroken line to the future. It begins with God's creative work when he said, "Let there be," and it will end when God brings the end of this age. And until then, there is a line of history that moves forward. That line of history has reached what we call the year of our Lord, 2026. Just imagine all the sacrifice and hope and prayer that was invested in these graduates. Just imagine all the hopes and dreams of Christians now dead who sacrificially gave in order that a school like this would exist. Just imagine a long line of faithfulness going back to prophets and apostles, going back to patriarchs and preachers, looking at reformers and Puritans and many others who stood in the way of the faith once for all delivered to the saints in order to deliver it to us. And then you feel the weight and responsibility of what it means to be absolutely committed to deliver it to yet those unborn, to peoples yet unreached. When we think about this day, we think about this moment, we're happy. You can't help but be happy. You can be happy in a couple of ways. Number one, because I believe this event is to the glory of God. You can be happy as Christians in another way, because I think it's confounding the devil enormously. The forces of evil will be irritated about every single component of this service. I speak to you as graduates. You have no idea what it means to send you out. As an institution like this, we have known you for a number of years. You've been on this campus. This has been your home. And it's the way it should be that you don't stay here. But you need to understand that that puts the faculty and those who lead this institution in an interesting predicament. We would love for you to stay. We have been thrilled for you to be here. Your professors have loved having you in the classroom. Your friends have loved having you live on the hall. We've loved seeing you on this campus, in the classroom, on the lawn, wherever. But the time has come to tell you to leave, or at least to move to the next step. And this is to the glory of God. I want to thank you as graduates for being a class of which we can be proud. I want to ask you that you always remember this place as your home. And I ask that you always remember that an enormous investment was made in you by real, live human beings as believers, professors, and others. And with you go the hopes and dreams of Christ's people. That's all. Just enormous, the enormity, the glory of that weight, it ought to fall upon all of us. And yet, God has made us creatures in such a way that we look at something like this, and with all the gravity, we feel an unspeakable joy. That's why we have to sing. That's why we have to pray. That's why we get dressed up like this, to make a point of the formality of this occasion. It goes all the way back to the history of education. For a secular school, this would be kind of quaint. for a Christian school, this is monumental. In all this, we say, to God be the glory, great things he has done. God bless the Boyce College class of 2026.